Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace be with you in the name of our Savior. We read from God's holy and inspired word today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. These are God's words before us today. I want to start off the sermon this morning with a bit of word association. The idea is, what comes to mind with these words? Three words: infectious, holidays, people. If you associate the COVID virus, and specifically the Omicron variant, with these words, one could hardly blame you. Those thoughts have been in the news and on our minds and sometimes directly in our lives in the last couple of weeks. They certainly impacted all of us in one way or another this Christmas season. And we can associate those words, but it's not a very positive association, is it? None of us have had a good time during this pandemic, and especially as it affects things and traditions that we hold so dear to us, like Christmas. But there's another way to associate these words that is much more positive. In fact, it's a way that hits right at the heart of the Christmas message. The birth of our Savior was an event that spread rapidly. One could call it an infectious message. And it was an event that touched the lives of people all over the world. But something that is certainly much more positive than a viral infection. And the Christmas story today remains the greatest news that has ever been spread around the world. We focus our study this morning on the ways that a few individuals received that first Christmas story and how it affected their lives. We ask the Holy Spirit to bless us as we look at these individuals and as we seek to take from God's word today and apply it to our lives. The final thoughts that Luke records in his famous Christmas account detail the way that this news about Jesus spread so quickly. Sometimes these verses are easily overlooked by us as simply the epilogue to that famous Luke 2 account. But we shouldn't discount their importance, whether it be back then or for us today. Because these words testify to the power and effectiveness that our Savior has and how He indeed changes people's lives. The text is really about three individuals or groups of individuals and their experience on that first Christmas. And the three individuals and groups are the shepherds, the hearers of the shepherds, and Mary. The first group mentioned in our text is those who heard the shepherd's message. Luke records that upon seeing Jesus in the stable, the shepherds, quote, made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, end quote. What we read here about the shepherds and those who heard their message is really quite astonishing, but perhaps not for the reason that we typically think. Typically, we look at the shepherds and we say, what good witnesses they were. What a great accomplishment to go to the village and to spread the news of the Savior's birth, to share it with unashamed joy and confidence in who Jesus was and what he was going to do. There's good reason for us to think of the shepherds in this way. They were the first witnesses on earth of the Christmas message. But the amazing part of the shepherds' story and their hearers is not that they were such great witnesses. It's what led them to be so effective in this way. Verse 17 tells us that it was the saying which was told them that created this effectiveness. They had first received this saying from the angels who appeared to them in the fields and told them about the Savior who was born. What made this amazing was not the angel vision, But it was the fact that the shepherds had also seen Jesus with their own eyes. They witnessed what so many others throughout history have longed to see, whether it be others from the Old Testament who waited for that Savior, or us today who would love a chance to see Jesus with our own eyes. The shepherds got an opportunity to do what so many other believers never got the chance to do, to see Jesus with their eyes. The shepherds saw something that was divine, literally. The shepherds saw the only child who was conceived outside of natural means, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. The shepherds saw the first glimpse of God in human flesh. The shepherds saw one of the most amazing and unbelievable miracles in the history of the world with their own eyes. And it wasn't even the most important part of their story. God tells us it was the saying that was told them that caused such a stir among the shepherds to go out and share that message with others. Instead of the miracle that they saw, it was the word of God that they clung to. It was the word of God that motivated them to go and tell as many people as they could find. That's really the amazing element of the shepherd's story, is that with everything that they had seen, it wasn't about that. It wasn't about their own eyes. It was about the message from God. The lesson that God imparts to us through these first two sets of people, the shepherds and their hearers, is that faith is about the message. And if faith is about the message, then God's word is what is most important to our faith, just as much as it was to the shepherds. Even if we could witness Jesus with our own eyes, it would still be the message that God has delivered and fulfilled that would be of utmost priority to our faith. Contrary to popular belief today, faith is not about the number of people around you. Faith is not about the experience of the moment. Faith is not about the personal belief on the inside. And faith is not about the proof of having seen or witnessed. In fact, faith is not only not about any of these things, it's contrary to it, because it's built on the Word of God. Faith is confirmed by these things, but not founded on them, just as much as it wasn't for the shepherds on Christmas. The joy and peace that the shepherds were overcome with and couldn't help telling others about was centered on the saying concerning this child. And what was that saying? The angel's words remind us, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." When that message takes root in a person's heart, the power of the word is evidenced by what it produces through faith. We're told that those who heard the shepherds marveled at those things that were told them. We're told the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Faith is proven by the fruits that the Holy Spirit produces, and we see those fruits in the lives of the shepherds and their hearers. But at the end of the day, it was all about the message that was told. Many people wonder today, how can I find the joy and peace of Christmas? How can I find that, especially when it comes to religion? It certainly seems that religion doesn't help. People feel like religion just creates hostility and division. So many people have given up on Christianity because of that very thing. It feels to many like religion is a bridge that our world crossed long ago and found to be ineffective. And only those who are stuck in the past continue to go back to it. But when you look at the shepherds and their hearers, and you think about our lives, maybe the problem isn't that religion is to blame, or maybe more specifically we could say Christianity. Maybe the problem is that people aren't hearing and receiving the Word of God as much as they should. You see, the first casualty when the saying which has been told is changed, twisted, or forgotten is that the meaning and purpose of faith, then becomes changed, twisted, or forgotten. And then the second casualty is this. Fruits like peace and joy are lost. We're always reminded of how easily that can happen each year around Christmas when so much of the world makes Christmas into something that it's not. Time for presents and gifts, time to be with family, time off from work or school, time to come together. Now, Christmas is about these things in a little way here and there, but it's not what it's all about. Christmas is exclusively about God's affirmation of the long-awaited promise of a Savior who would rescue the world from sin. That's what Christmas alone is 100% about. The child born did not come to unite the world in some earthly fashion or some worldly power, but rather to suffer the shame and rejection of the cross that mankind brought into the world. And this, the true message of Christmas, what it's really all about, is where peace and joy are found. And we hang on to these gifts when we hang on to the Word. The reactions to the Word for the shepherds and their hearers were astonishment and praise. But the third individual of our text provides a needed reminder as well that the effect of the Word is not always outward. So many people judge the effectiveness of God's Word or the merit of God's Word based on the reaction they think it should make. And those reactions by people are often determined by what they see and what they think, not so much about what God thinks. But Mary helps us see that the Word does not always produce fruits outwardly for others to see. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's work is in the heart. Verse 19 tells us the reaction Mary had. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. There are times when, by faith, we will marvel with astonishment at seeing what God has done. There are times also when, by faith, we will respond with shouts of praise, thanksgiving, and joy to God from our voices. But there are also times when, by faith, we will inwardly ponder what God has done for us. The only difference between these three reactions is that the third one can't be seen by others. No one can look into my heart. I can't look into anyone else's heart. And yet, the Holy Spirit can be working there just as much as if I could see something on the outside. So one immediate thought from Mary comes to mind. We must be careful about judging another person's faith only by what we see on the outside. And maybe more importantly, we should be careful about judging what the Holy Spirit's able to do or the effectiveness of what God has promised just based on what we can see. While some fruits of faith are outward for others to see, some are not. And a second important thought comes from this as well. Sometimes for my own personal faith, it's best for me to quietly meditate upon what my Savior has done. Instead of striving for some magnificent way for others to see, or for me to show how much I can praise God, or to show how much wisdom and knowledge about His Word I have, perhaps sometimes in our lives, the best thing to do is to quietly meditate in our own hearts upon what Jesus has done, just as Mary herself did. Consider all the scriptural references throughout the Bible to such an approach. A few before us this morning, when the Lord revealed Himself to Elijah and His plan, He did not come through the fire or through the wind or through the earthquake, but through the still small voice. When the Lord used King David to encourage others through one of His Psalms, He said, "Be still and know that I am God." Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, searching in the depths of his soul for the mercies and grace of God, declared, "It is good that one should wait quietly and hope for the salvation of the Lord." Or even something as simple as Jesus' own prescription in his ministry, "First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Each of these areas of Scripture teach us to do the same thing that Mary did, to practice our faith by pondering what God has done for us in our hearts. It's not about the outward manifestation of faith. It's not about what others can see. It's about what God calls me to think about and to consider in my own heart. Mary wasn't in danger of judging anyone in that moment. She was simply practicing her own faith. But her simple act of pondering the Lord's work in her heart shows us that a living faith is active not just on the outside, but also on the inside. These three groups of people show us how and why the Christmas message spread so quickly, why it was so infectious. The shepherds and their hearers show us that the best part of Christmas is the word spoken, the verifiable proof that God has kept his promise. And Mary shows us that it's necessary in our faith for peace and joy in our hearts to look inwardly and to ponder and meditate by faith upon what the Lord has done for us. Both thoughts show us not only how Christmas remains impactful today for our lives, but also how God continues to share the very same message in the world today. So where can we get more of that peace and joy of Christmas? See the answer in these examples, all which focus on the word. First, the word spoken, the message, the saying as it was told them, the gospel declaration. But second, the word incarnate, God made man, Jesus Christ. Peace and joy in all scenes of life are found in the word spoken and made flesh. May God bring us into closer contact with Jesus, our Savior, through his word, and may he lead and guide our faith through our Savior. Amen. Please rise.